If you have your scriptures with you this morning, please turn to the Gospel according to John. Gospel according to John. I think if you're using a pew Bible to follow along, it's on page, 889. We've been walking through the Gospel according to John the last several weeks. We're in chapter 4. This morning we continue a discussion. Last week Jesus was having a discussion with a woman of Samaritan woman at the well. It was a woman who was living in sin, a woman who was alone, a woman who was mistreated, and Jesus had to go to Samaria to meet her, and he offers her living water. He reveals to her that he is the Messiah. He reveals to her that because of his work, that people all over the world would be able to worship where they live through the truth of who Christ is and through the power of the Spirit. And she's overwhelmed at this stranger that who's just come to meet her at this well at noontime, knows all these things. And she asks the question, can this be the Christ? And the disciples come, can't believe that Jesus is talking to this woman. She leaves and she's telling the Samaritans in the town that, look who I've discovered, look who I've met, can this be the Christ? And this morning we pick up right after this incident as she's going around and telling people, and now we're at a conversation that Jesus is having with the disciples. Before we begin reading, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to worship. Lord, we thank you that in all of our imperfect lives riddled with sin, lives riddled with confusion and chaos, you are there, and you're a sure anchor to the soul. Lord, I pray that we can hook into you, that we could stand upon you as a rock, that as the wind and the waves and the storms of life come, that we stand because of your word, because of your faithfulness. Lord, as you reached out and touched this woman of Samaria, I pray that you would reach out and touch each one of us to find our joy, to find our contentment, to find our hope, to find our peace in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would tell others. Lord, we thank you that you're always acting, that you're always moving, and that you're building your church. So, Lord, we pray that you would set aside this time to teach us your people. As we look into this word, touch us right where we're at, what we need to hear. And, Lord, change us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So we're at John 4, verse 31. We'll pick up the conversation. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. After the 2 days, he departed for Galilee, for Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast. for they too had gone to the feast. This ends the reading of God's word. As we begin, I have a question for you. I was curious how many of you enjoy gardening or farming. You can raise your hand. Not many. I don't know if you knew this. Somebody told me that gardening is actually the number one hobby in America. Of all the hobbies and things where money is spent, somebody said it's gardening. Now, for those of you who maybe don't garden or have never farmed, how many have ever went out and picked corn, picked cherries, or picked apples? Yeah. And in the midst of the picking, did you ever just stop and just enjoy the fresh fruit off of what you're picking? And yes, it's delicious. It is immensely satisfying. It is good. I don't know if you've ever, when you're eating of that apple or those cherries, have you ever just taken time? I never have, to consider the effort or the labor that was involved just to prepare that fruit. From the toiling of the ground to the actual planting of the seeds to actually the watering of the soil to get the fruit, to get the cherry, to get the apple or the corn, it can be a long and tedious labor. But oh, when you bite into that fresh apple, that juicy tomato, oh my, my, the joy. There's nothing like it. It's satisfaction and it is immense. All the stages to get to this fruit are important. Whoever had a hand in it, whether it was the stages of plowing, watering, or harvesting, and it's something to be enjoyed and to rejoice by all. Today, Jesus uses the illustration of reaping and harvesting to explain the spiritual nature of those who come to faith in Christ. There are laborers, there are tillers, there are waterers, and there are harvesters. In our circles, we use bigger words to explain this. We call it effectual calling. And what that means is God, by the work of His Spirit, He convinces us of our sin. He enlightens our minds to the knowledge of Christ. He renews our wills to persuade us and enable us to believe in Jesus Christ. This is all done by the work of the Spirit, but the Spirit of God uses you. He uses your prayers. He uses your labor and toil of love. He uses your labor and toil of testimony to produce a harvester, to produce a follower of Christ. And this morning I submit to you, though you live in a little town, a little city, you who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are called to be farmers. You're called to be farmers of souls. Though you live in a city, you're called to be a farmer to those in your household, to those who are your neighbors, to those who are your family, that you would take the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and labor. Pray, share, love, and be a harvester of their souls. Our theme for this morning is labor as a farmer for the salvation of your family and friends. Labor as a farmer for the salvation of your family and friends. Whether you will be a sower, whether you will be a reaper, the joy in the end will be shared and it will be eternal. We'll look at 3 points this morning. The first one, I tried to be real creative with my points that are real memorable, and I don't know if you like this one, but the first one is, the moment of salvation is more important than a Big Mac. The moment of salvation is more important than a Big Mac. Let me explain verse 31 of your scriptures. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" The disciples had been gone for a while. They were journeying from Judea up to Galilee. Then they had to stop in Samaria because Jesus was weary and he had to talk to this woman of Samaria. While he sat at the well, the disciples went into town to buy food so that they could feed Jesus. When they returned, they found Jesus talking to this woman, which surprised them. They're like, "He's talking to a woman? Really?" And the woman was so excited from everything that she had heard, she had suddenly took off. Jesus had told this woman that she was the Messiah, that she was the anointed, which is amazing. This is a lonely stranger, a woman who is destitute, and he reveals plainly, I am the Messiah. When he talks to the Pharisees, Jesus never comes straight out and says, I'm the Messiah. But to this woman, he reveals that he is the Messiah, and he is the one who offers living water, that which satisfies, that which brings contentment and thirst, quenching love forever. Jesus said to her, I am he who's about to do something because of me that people all over the world would be able to worship wherever they are. They would be able to worship Christ through Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. Jesus, as he talked to this woman, he revealed that he knew her present sinful lifestyle. And he knew her past destructive relationship. Yet he broke through the barriers of race, gender, religion to offer her life. Life like living water that would heal and that would restore and bring her into proper fellowship with God and those around her. She's amazed and she leaves Jesus and the disciples as well. She leaves her water jug and she tells the people of the Samaria, come meet this man. Can this be the Christ? He has told me everything that I have done in my life. Can this be him? In the midst of these events, the disciples come back and they want to care for Jesus. They say, Jesus, you need to eat. They're urging him to eat, and he responds, I have food that you don't know. That you don't know of. They had taken the effort to go into town to get provisions for him. And he says, I don't need it. And it's like, what are you saying? I think you can relate a little bit when you've been away from home for a long time with maybe your children or family, and you get home and you're just so tired and hungry, and you tell the kids to go in the room while I fix supper, and you're in there and you're fixing it and it's ready to eat, and you say, it's time to eat, and your kids or your spouse says, I'm not real hungry. Can you imagine? You're like, what? What? And Jesus says, I have food you don't know about. And they say, has someone brought him something to eat? It almost reminds me as of adults, not that I do this kids, but sometimes as adults we get a favorite candy or food and we know our kids eat a lot. And so I hide it away so they don't find it so I can enjoy it. Does he have food that we don't know about? So what's going on here? The journey has been long and everyone is wearied and hungry. But Jesus is in the midst of a moment that is more satisfying than food when we are hungry. It's more satisfying than a buffet at the Golden Corral after a long day. It's more satisfying than a Big Mac after a long soccer game. A moment that is going to change the lives of people forever. The way that this woman responds, the way that the people are coming out to see Jesus at this present hour, something so profound can't be expressed in all the words of the world. The Spirit of God is moving. The wind of God is blowing, and Samaritan people are becoming Christians. They're becoming to see the kingdom of God. They are being born from above. And whether this kind of birth is happening or a physical birth, as some of you know what it's like when a child is born, there's nothing more important, nothing more satisfying to see the birth of that child. There's nothing more fulfilling and satisfying than seeing someone coming to faith in Christ. Yeah, Jesus is probably hungry, but he's seeing people come to faith. And at this moment, food's not important. For us, in the midst of our discussions, in the midst of our relationships, we need to be in tune with the Spirit of God. And when you're having a spiritual conversation, even though you have hunger pains or that you might need to go somewhere, be in tune to where you might be able to share something with somebody and you might be a harvester of their soul. So be in tune with the Spirit of God. When a moment of salvation is there and ready to present itself, step in faith. Step into that labor. Step in that toil. And who knows, you may be there for the birth of someone to come to faith. Jesus goes on to explain to the disciples in verse 34. If you look back in your text, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months? Then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Our second point is you are called to enter into the labor of the salvation of souls. You are called to enter into this labor of the harvest of souls, and it is a labor of love. Jesus says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work." Jesus' desire and zeal was to do the will of God, to finish his calling. And Jesus would show us what true humanity is to be about, what true humanity's tell us or purpose or passion is to be. The first is to be obedient to the will of God, not as a slave, but as a son, to live life in its fullest when it comes to love, when it comes to justice, when it comes to mercy, when it comes to servanthood. We are to be obedient to the will of God and use it as a guide, not only to please God, but to live life as it is intended. Jesus wasn't doing this only to give us an example, but to secure your righteousness, a righteousness that you cannot attain, a perfection and a holiness that God requires in order for you to belong to him. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, took on flesh and merits your righteousness for you, a gift to be received. Second, as humanity, we are to finish our calling. For Jesus, it was to save his people from their sins. It was to destroy the works of the evil one. It was to be the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. It was for him to take upon himself the iniquities of our sins, to atone for them, to cover them, to release us from the sentence of condemnation, to where he says, "If you trust me and receive me, you are forgiven. You are a child of God." This was his desire. This was his zeal. This was his food. Isaiah 61 and verse 1 explains some of the work of the Lord. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." That was what Jesus' calling was. We're not Jesus, but we are called to bring the same news. He is the Savior, and we point them to this good news that Jesus has come for the poor. He has come for the brokenhearted. He's come to make you an oak of righteousness. Jesus is saying to the disciples at this time, the harvest of souls is upon us. There's no waiting. It is happening now. Jesus looks up to the field and says, "Look, they are white for harvest." And probably what Jesus is seeing is people of Samaria that are coming to him in their white robes. It's people coming down through the fields to see him. And he says, "Look, these people are coming. And they're going to be coming to faith. And you get to be a part of there when they are coming to faith." He says, "It's time for you to reap. He says, "Others have sown. Others have done the work of preparing the ground of their hearts by planting the seeds of God's truth. Others have watered it, and the Spirit of God is giving birth to it now." These others are Jesus. These others are John the Baptist. These others are the prophets who prepared these Samaritans to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about those who aren't mentioned? I wonder about those ones we don't know of. and wonder who had been praying for that town as you pray for your children, as you pray for a family member, as you pray for a coworker. I wonder who was praying for this woman, for these Samaritans to come to faith. I wonder who was there, who was sharing their hope of the coming Messiah, the one who would make things right, as we try to do with our children, the people of the church, and the people of the community. They didn't miss the moment. They entered into the labor. They wanted to be the part of a harvester of souls. And as verse 36 says, already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. You see, you and I who belong to Jesus Christ are agents in a rescue plan. We are ambassadors rescuing people from a life of death and destruction. Don't waste the moments. And when you observe the Spirit of God awakening hearts, step in faith and be a harvester of souls. Proverbs 11:30 says, whoever captures souls is wise. Daniel 12:3, it says, and those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who turn many to righteousness are like the stars forever. Be a farmer who's like a star that shines forever. It would only be a matter of years that this taste of these Samaritans coming to faith would explode. In a matter of 3 years, the Lord Jesus Christ would ascend to heaven. The power of the Holy Spirit would come. In a matter of 2 sermons, 3,000 people would come to faith. 5,000 people would come to faith. And it was an explosion of the work of God. People are being born from above. They are being awakened to the life of Jesus Christ. And this explosion is continuing. People are receiving living hope. People are receiving living water. Lives are being transformed. And you can enter into that labor. You can enter into that toil, being a part of what the Spirit of God is doing. This is why we pray. This is why we share. This is why we promote the living hope of Christ, so people would know Him. And our last point for this morning, as a farmer of souls, there's 2 important tools that you need, at least 2 important ones: the testimony of changed lives and the power of God's Word. The testimony of changed lives and the power of God's Word. In verse 39, many Samaritans from that town believed in Him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to Him, they asked Him to stay with them, and He stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of His word. They said to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. In this section, we see the path to faith goes through the testimony of changed lives and the truth of God's Word. Testimonies are a great way to introduce people to Christ. A testimony is just what God is doing in your life. A generic testimony is, what was your life like before you knew Christ? What was it that God used to convince you, to change you, that made you awaken to the things of Christ? How has your life been different? For me, before I had a personal relationship with Christ, I was an angry young man, and I didn't care really too much about anybody except for a select few. And because of His mercy, because of His grace, He awakened me to a new reality. That I was just like everybody else. Full of sin, full of self, full of pride. He says, you need me. You need me. And I surrendered. I said, okay, show me who you are. And He's taken me on a path that's full of joy, that's full of contentment, that's full of excitement as I talk with people and share the things of Christ. Testimonies are powerful. For the Samaritan woman, she was alone. She was shamed. She was hopeless. And then she met Jesus personally, and He gave her living water. She has a faith in the Messiah. She is reconciled. Her guilt is removed, and she has eternal hope, and she's this little missionary, this one who felt rejected from the community. She goes, you need to meet this guy. You need to meet this guy. He has to be the Christ. He's told me everything I've done. People go out, they listen to her, they believe her, and they go out and to discover more, and they go to the source himself, to Jesus himself, and he stays with them 2 days, and they are convinced he is the Savior of the world. The Samaritans, remember, the Samaritans had a separate temple, they had different scriptures, and with this conversation that he has with the woman, and 2 days of conversation, these people are convinced he is the Savior of the world. It was a long, tedious toil, and the disciples and Jesus are there at the right time for these people to be birthed into faith. It's an exciting and marvelous thing to be part of. Being part of the labor and seeing people come to faith, to be farmers of souls. As you connect with others, pray. Pray for an opportunity to share Christ. Share some kind of testimony. Maybe there's a point where you don't really remember. You came to faith at an early age and started following Jesus. Whatever it is, just share what God's going on in your life. Share those things. Knock on their hearts. See how they respond. Do a little plowing. Do a little seed planting. Do a little bit of watering. And maybe one of these times, one of these days, you might run into somebody who says, I want to know more. I want to know this Christ. I'm ready. And you'll be there to be a harvester of a soul. I think of the taxi drivers you hear on in the news where they're driving a lady who's in labor to the hospital. He wasn't planning it. He wasn't expecting it. But she jumped in the cab and they needed to get there. Well, guess what? They didn't get there in time. And he was there. As you labor, as you enter into this labor and toil of farming the souls of people, maybe you'll be a plower, maybe you'll be a waterer, but God might surprise you. The Spirit of God will blow, and somebody says, I need Jesus. And there'll be a birth of a new child. There'll be a harvest of a soul. Labor in this city. Labor as a farmer of the salvation of the souls of your family and friends. Whether you are a sower, whether you are a reaper, the joy will be shared and it will be eternal. Enter this labor of love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that there was many who've entered into our lives that labored, a labor of love to just share what you have done in our hearts and our minds. We are just simple beggars, pointing everybody else to the one who can give everything, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit who empowers us, that takes our efforts and uses them to do the work of harvesting souls, of giving living hope that cannot be taken away, that is imperishable, that is undefiled, that is kept in heaven for us. So Lord, I pray even now, there's one this morning that needs to know Jesus, Spirit of God, blow. Awaken them to the reality that Jesus is living water to the soul, that they would know him. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.